one senator in particular irks me, a Senator Kelly Loeffler, not elected, but appointed just a couple months ago.
Across the political spectrum for the resignation of Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia.
Loeffler, her husband's the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange.
I know that sounds like a joke about rich people in an Adam Sandler movie. That's a real thing. He owns the stock exchange. So they're two regular down-home folks.
One of the first things they did after they found out just how bad the coronavirus would be during closed-door Senate briefings was sell a huge amount of stock.
You sold over $1 million in stocks in your own personal portfolio before the market went down.
They were making a bunch of moves in the stock market to make sure their portfolios were protected instead of making sure you were protected.
New congressional disclosures show that Loeffler sold far more stock than we initially knew.
$18.7 million in stock trades. While there are those who would dismiss it and say, well, she's worth so much more, I've never met a wealthy person who didn't want more money.
Not only did she sell stuff, but then she bought stuff. And one of the items she bought was to help people who have to work at home software.
There's a reason Kelly Loeffler was spending 25 plus or $30 million this, because she don't want people to know about her past.
So she owns part of Atlanta's WNBA team, and there are calls for her to give up that ownership now.
Truth is, with Kelly Loeffler, her own ambitions and her own elite friends come first, and the president, the rest of us come second.
Folks, this woman is knee-deep in the swamp, and she just got there.
We should have leaders who actually respect the people.
If Loeffler knew about these trades, she should leave office.
The voters of Georgia had the opportunity to ballot box you out.
David, it's December 2nd, 2020. It's a cold morning, you tell me. And it's all about the Senate race in Georgia.
Let's meet our villain. Every good superhero story requires a dastardly villain. Unfortunately, this is real life, not just fiction fun. The villain here is Kelly Loeffler. She's appointed senator in the Georgia U.S. Senate seat. And what we just listened to is an ad put forward by a group that is, you know, critical of Loeffler and wants to defeat her. And those voices we heard in there are a mix of conservative and liberal voices. And that's the argument of the ad. That Kelly Loeffler actually does something that is hard to imagine in America today. She unites liberals and conservatives. She brings them together on common ground. So today's first thing is the villain in the Georgia Senate race, Kelly Loeffler.
Well, I was wondering how she got into office in the first place. And there are some intimations that it didn't hurt that she gave the Trump campaign a lot of money.
Yeah, so she did make a donate. Her and her husband made at least one, I might have been two, significant dollar donations, well into the millions, right around the time that she got appointed. But Trump, that was to try to ingratiate herself with Trump. Trump didn't want her. So part of the story about how she unites liberals and conservatives, the good chunk of the reason why conservatives don't like her is because she wasn't Trump's choice for the seat. So Johnny Isaacson is a U.S. senator who really well respected and beloved by people of a wide variety of ideological stripes. Definitely conservative. Is retired. In, I believe, December of 2019, for health reasons. And the governor, Brian Kemp, decided to appoint Kelly Loeffler to the position, which he has the right to do. Donald Trump wanted Kemp to appoint Doug Collins, a Congress member of the House of Representatives and a staunch ally of Donald Trump. Trump lobbied for Kemp to appoint Collins. Kemp did not appoint Collins, appointed Loeffler instead, believing that Loeffler would appeal to white suburban women, and that whoever wins this special election in 2020 has to run again in 2022 to finish, because they're filling portion of a seat, so that their actual regular election will be in 2022. And Kemp wanted Loeffler on the ticket when he runs for re-election in 2022, rather than Collins. So Kemp appointed Loeffler. This produced the first rift in the Kemp-Trump rift or feud, which is now reaching very large proportions around this election. And it's coming to a head when Trump comes to the state on Saturday of this week, when Loeffler and David Perdue, the other senator who is in this election on the Republican side, will be joining him in Georgia for his visit to state. And that visit will, without a doubt, involve tremendous criticism of Brian Kemp, the Republican governor, and Brad Raffensperger, the Republican Secretary of State. So Loeffler gets the seat and immediately then begins to draw the ire of conservatives, and has to eventually beat Doug Collins in the most recent election here in November. She beat Doug Collins by 4 or 5%. So part of the argument of conservatives who say that the election is fixed is that they say that Collins actually beat Loeffler, but that the vote changing occurred not only for Donald Trump, against Donald Trump, but against Doug Collins.
Well, I missed that. So this has been a long, ongoing conspiracy.
The remarkable element of this conspiracy, which I mean, of course, not just tongue-in-cheek, but with every irony dripping possible or sarcasm possible, is that the votes apparently were changed against only Donald Trump in most states, and in a few states against a couple other candidates, in this case, Doug Collins. But none of the other votes were changed. That's some remarkable stuff.
Well, I mean, these are smart people, David, and they know how to use the system to its fullest extent.
Absolutely. Quick aside on that, we're going to dive into some more of that probably next week. But, you know, all those vote tally system machines, they're not connected to the internet. They're not. That's by law the case, so that nobody can hack through the internet. So the only way you could hack them would be to hack them somehow in the software that is added to all the machines. That's the argument being made, that the software, the original software added to the machine, somehow created the system that made it happen, or after the fact by going machine by machine. So that's just insane, the notion that that's going to happen. However, that's the argument on that. Back to Loeffler. Loeffler gets into office, and as that ad that we're just listening to makes clear, she trades a series of cells, a series of stocks that are going to be hurt by the coronavirus, and buys other stocks that are going to be helped by the coronavirus right around the time she's getting Senate briefings that no one else is getting. She says she knew nothing about it, but those trades are worth millions and millions, and her husband owns the stock market. And so we're talking about ultimate insider trading pieces here. So she's been profiting off of our devastation in our society. And that's the essence of that critique in that ad. As a note, because I know we're podcasting this rather than you being able to see it visually, the most critical voices in that ad are on Fox News. They're conservatives. They are people who are the most conservative who are criticizing her, because they were fighting for Doug Collins to win that election. All those voices now are still present out there, and Loeffler has to overcome that.
But they're not supporting Warnock, right? Warnock.
No, of course not. Collins campaigned a couple days ago with Loeffler for the first time. And he begins to be suspect now in the conspiracy, the deep state space. Anybody who, of course, begins to criticize accept or even live with the Republican establishment becomes suspect. So Collins himself is being questioned by folks who are on the conspiracy fringe. But Collins, it's really hard now for Collins to walk back all those criticisms and to say, like, she's the one you should vote for.
What's the evidence of how Republican voters are reacting?
in that particular election, that was the primary that had 17 candidates in it. Warnock got the most, and Loeffler was second, so the top two advanced. So she got more than Collins. When you add up all the Republicans and all the Democratic votes, there were just a tad more Republican votes than Democrat ones. So she's on that side of it for sure. But does she carry the day at the top of the ticket is the question. So here's where we're at with her. She's the villain. She traded these stocks. She's not well-liked. She's making criticisms of Warnock that are based upon decades-old sermons that he's delivered as the minister, the pastor of a Martin Luther King Jr.'s former church, Ebenezer Baptist, a church that Warnock spoke at herself within the last 2 years and Loeffler. Said how grateful. Yeah, I'm sorry. What? Thank you. That Loeffler spoke at herself, and she said how grateful she was to be invited. What an honor it was to come. And now she's blasting Warnock for being the minister and the things he says as pastor there. So Loeffler's the villain. She's the Ted Cruz, the Lindsey Graham of this election. That's fun for us. That's exciting because it energizes people who are trying to defeat her. But those folks also got through. They won. And so the villain is a double-edged sword. They energize both sides.
Does she benefit from David Perdue, the other senator and the other race that's being voted on in January? Does she benefit from being associated with him? Or does he get more taint from being associated with her? That's going to be part of the calculation, isn't it?
Sure. Both sides, both the Republicans and the Democrats, have now decided to run as a pair, a twosome. So you have two Republicans, and the votes will go to both Republicans, or the votes will go to both Democrats. So you got two Democrats and two Republicans running as teams on each side. And that's the way it has to be, because I really find it unlikely that there's going to be voters that are going to split their votes across these apart on, you know, Democrat one, Republican another. I doubt that. So who benefits? Well, on the Republican side, Perdue is the more mainstream Republican. Also has made insider stock trades, has denied knowing about those, has since subsequently evidence has been produced that he did not only know about those, he ordered them. So Loeffler and Perdue, it's the same critique of them, or at least one part of the same critique, is this issue of benefiting off the coronavirus with insider trading knowledge, which to me is just so offensive. So offensive. Perdue does bring along more establishment Republicans with him. He does. He got more votes than Trump in the state. Loeffler brings along the Trumpers more than Perdue does. She brings along the Trumpers. So they form a duo in a useful duo as a political twosome in that respect. She each brings a portion to the coalition. And can the Democrats, you know, pull down Perdue with Loeffler, and can the Democrats pull down Loeffler with the double whammy of the stock trading for both of them? I mean, these are the calculuses that go into the campaigns.
Why does Loeffler bring along the Trumpers, especially more than Perdue?
Sure, that's a good question. So she has embraced Trump because she's been constantly trying to win his love. So she offers a rhetoric and an embrace of Trump that Perdue does more implicitly, but Loeffler goes so far as to make the case that. She did in an interview about a month ago that she'd never heard the Access Hollywood tape, that she doesn't know anything about the things that Trump has said and done regarding the kind of sexualization and misogyny towards women. So she has done everything possible to cultivate Trump. And although she never won his favor, she did neutralize Trump in the election we just had. Trump did not endorse Collins in that election. He stood outside. to the side. So of those two, Perdue and Loeffler, I think that Loeffler is more the Trumpish person. She is more the cultivator of the conspiracy theories, the person who is more emotionally wound into the space.
I see.
But you're right. Collins was more of the favorite of those voters. So can Loeffler get them to come with her because she's trying so hard to beat Trump? I think she's got a chance. I think she's got a chance because she has criticized Black Lives Matter. Protesters said that they're racist. Her main argument against Warnock is that he's a radical, that he's crazy, that he's going to bring along the socialist left. They're going to take their guns. All of that, and that's a Trump argument in its core. And whereas Perdue is a bit more measured in how he approaches things.
I see. Interesting. Interesting. And all that stuff in between about conspiracies and the like, that's just what will that do for voter turnout? That's an interesting question too, of course.
It's just the big unknown is what will do. We know that Trump's rhetoric against absentee balloting absolutely shaped how people voted in the most recent election. The method of voting, that his voters did not use absentee ballots, Biden and the Democrats did. But it did not seem to in any way, shape, or form damage the turnout. Trump obviously still got enormous turnout for people just voted in person for him. In this case, Trump's rhetoric is not devoted so much against absentee ballots, as you know. He's moved on from that. He's got bigger fish now. It's the entire election. It's the entire system that can't be trusted. Does that produce a suppression on the Republican side? It certainly has the potential to. And what we're going to be tracking, and I'm going to be doing, I think, probably tomorrow, a podcast on the way that some of the Trump leaders in the state who are not elected officials, but are the more vocal community leaders, are potentially amplifying that message about the vote system itself being rigged. And in the application of that, they might be the ones that are most likely to tamp down the vote on the Republican side. That said, the Dems have to turn out. They have to turn out big time. And that has not been the record for Democrats in runoff elections. So we're really trying to break precedent here.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. What the RNC chair just, what was that, 2 days ago? She was in Georgia telling people to vote, and she was getting questions from people saying, why should we vote? It's all corrupt. It's all corrupt. And she was saying, no. She was stuck in the middle.
I mean, yeah, it's such a... there's not a logic to the position. There's no logic. You can't be arguing that the whole thing is corrupt and our president got robbed and then telling people to go out and vote. So there's no logic to it, but that's not really relevant whether there's a logic to it. Can they, through emotional appeals, actually get both the outcomes they're looking for? The conclusion of a rigged system while at the same time mobilizing people to vote, to get out and vote. Well, the president's coming down on Saturday to Georgia. It's going to be in Valdosta, Georgia, it looks like, which is down in the southern, right across the border from Florida. Down there, that is prime Trump territory. So we're going to see. We're going to see if he can juice it. We're 5 weeks out from the election. Going to keep our eyes and focus on Georgia quite a bit here. It serves a double purpose for us for our work. One is the center of the kind of vote recount and conspiracy arguments universe for the presidential campaign. Georgia's front and center to that. And then it's got this U.S. Senate elections. So it really is a place that is just at the center of the entire American political universe right now. It's almost as if like Washington, D.C. has moved into like second place for a period of time in terms of focus.
What are the Democrats planning on doing? Who are they sending?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. I have not seen material on that. The Dems are working very hard, as I talked about yesterday, to make this a Georgia election, right? To make this about Georgia. So who's going to come? Well, undoubtedly Barack Obama will campaign there. Joe Biden's staff has said that he will travel there. Kamala Harris will come. Beyond that, I don't know. If you're trying to make the argument that this is a Georgia election, who do you bring in from outside? That's a toughie, right? That's a toughie. So that's part of the strategy on the Democratic side is do you mobilize people from outside, these high-profile individuals, or do you just say, you know, stay at bay, we're going to win this internal to the state with just a few high national figures who really have a logic for being here. They're not just a Congress member or a Senate member. They're the president or former president or vice president. So we'll see on that. Right now, the Republicans are bringing in senators all over the place. Marco Rubio's been there. Rick Scott has been there. Joni Ernst was there last week with Kelly Loeffler. They're all coming in to defend the Senate. To defend the Senate is their argument.
Well, that'll be interesting, too. That'll be very interesting. I mean, the pitch they make to their voters is, you know, this radical loved Fidel Castro and just wants to blow up America, and he's an African-American. They don't say it, but that's their implication right all the way through. He's not like us. We have to defend the Senate from them.
Exactly. Defend the Senate is loaded with that racial coded language, right?
Yeah.
It is the same narrative that we've been seeing in American politics for 200 plus years. There is a core white America that is somehow under assault from diversifying America. That's more women gaining power, more people of color coming to America and gaining power. That the conservatives are defending white Christian America. That's the same tropes, the same analysis that we see consistently over and over again. I'll talk some more about that. We'll leave that there. I'll talk some more about that in the next couple of days because Ossoff figures into that too. John Ossoff does, the other Democratic candidate.
I guess we got our work cut out for us.
Of course we do. Of course we do. But we got a villain, man. We got a villain. And, you know, it's just more fun in American politics and in sports to have a villain, all right? It doesn't guarantee anything, but it makes the journey more compelling and inspirational and energetic. So Loeffler's our villain. We will see people across the Democratic spectrum working to defeat her and David Perdue, and that because there's a villain uniting those folks. So there's going to be left progressives. They are already doing work. There will be moderates. They will be there. They are there. They will be doing more work because the getting the Senate is so important. But Loeffler herself is a unifying villain. So I enjoyed having that. Like, it's a weird word to say enjoy, but you got to have some fun on this journey too. And if we can beat a really, really bad person, then that's a win. Let's get to work.